holy and blessed name of Jesus, let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, for our salvation you descended to earth. You took on flesh that you may redeem us and raise us up to be with you. Your victory over sin and death and the power of the devil was for us, that we who are born unrighteous would be made to be righteous, and we who are born sinners would be made to be saints. Make known to our hearts and minds the glories of your ascension, that we may see you as ascended into heaven in the fullness of your person. Our flesh was raised on high, and because we have been united to you through faith, we also are raised up and victorious. Drive away our fear and unbelief, and give us comfort in the knowledge that your ascension means that you now fill all things and are present with your church here on earth. Empower us to live our lives, recognizing that through our union with you, we are delivered from all our enemies. And send now your Spirit, that through your word our faith would be strengthened, and we would be made bold and confident in the knowledge that we belong to you, and into your hands has been given all right and rule, all power and dominion, all authority and might, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit as our risen and ascended Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, clap your hands and shout to God with loud shouts of joy. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet, and he is king of all the earth and reigns over all the nations. Jesus, our God and Lord, our brother according to the flesh which he received from his mother Mary, he sits on his holy throne, and he has ascended on high, leading a host of captives in his train. And he has received gifts among men, that the Lord God would dwell among his people. Our God is a God of salvation, and to the Lord belongs deliverance from death. So ascribe to God, his majesty is over all. Awesome is God from his sanctuary. Our God is he who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be our God. In the age before Jesus' birth, the believers among the descendants of Abraham rejoiced at the future ascension of Abraham's offspring, knowing that this would be the capstone to his earthly ministry. The idea that the heavens would receive the body of a man was not unknown to them. After all, Enoch walked with God and was no more because God took him. And we read in our Old Testament lesson that Elijah was taken up in his body in a whirlwind. But there's something different about the fact that the heavens received Christ Jesus in his body. For the flesh of Jesus is united to the divinity of the Son, so that now Jesus, our brother according to the flesh, rules and reigns over all things in heaven and on earth. And as St. Paul declares, Jesus in his flesh has ascended far above all the heavens and now fills all things. Although the working of this mystery is unable to be understood by our minds, the meaning and the consequences of this profound truth are what attract our attention this evening. So on the basis of our gospel lesson read a few minutes ago, let us examine the ascension of Jesus as that ground of faith which comforts us in the knowledge of our risen Lord's gracious presence with his church on earth, with his congregations large and small, and with each Christian. And his ascension, which empowers us to live our life in recognition of our perfect deliverance, which he has won for us against all our enemies. St. Mark summarizes the events that followed Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and he records for us that after Jesus had spoken to the 11, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And then they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. And from these words, we see that the ascension was a necessary precondition of the work of the apostles. While Jesus walked among us in his flesh, his presence was localized. It was in a particular place. But now, having ascended, Jesus fills all things. And he is present with his church and her members wherever on earth they are found. We're no longer constrained by the weakness of our flesh to think that Jesus is only present in one specific location, as was the case when he walked among us. Now, because of the ascension, we are freed from the limitations of our corrupt thoughts, and we're able to accept the reality that even as the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ bodily, so also the reality of the flesh of Jesus now fills all things, just as his divinity does. And that he can make himself specifically and particularly present for us in bread and wine, for us to eat and drink for our soul's salvation. But the ascension of Jesus comforts us with more than our ability of mind to accept his gracious presence in the supper. Think about the great promises spoken by Jesus. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus' gracious presence with us is not just in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, but his presence is also in our midst as we gather to hear his word preached, as we receive his forgiveness in the words of absolution, and it is also graciously affirmed to us by the fact that Jesus has ascended into heaven. Now consider how our weak flesh and our mind would be led to doubt. We would be uncertain of these promises if we knew that there was some particular place on earth where Jesus was locally present. In spite of all of his words and promises, we'd always be tempted to think that in order to experience with certainty the fullness of his presence, we would need to go to that place. I mean, if we knew that Jesus had a home address somewhere in Galilee where we could go knock on the door and shake his hand, well, then our sinful flesh would have the upper hand as it tried to convince us that our Lord and Savior cannot possibly be present with us here and now. We'd easily be convinced that it would only be possible to worship him by going to where he is, as was the case with the temple in the Old Testament when God set up the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. But now, because of the ascension, we can silence the deceitfulness of our fallen thoughts. We can remind ourselves that now Jesus has ascended on high and fills all things, and as he promised, he is present at all times and therefore able to keep all of his promises to the church. We can be sure wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. Likewise, we can lay hold of the promise that wherever the Holy Spirit causes the word of God to be preached and proclaimed, there the one who has overcome all things is likewise present. And to the very end of the age, he is with us, even as he promised and said. But the ascension does not only give us confidence in his presence as a community of Christians when they gather to hear his word, but it also comforts us and gives us confidence to believe that along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, Christ himself comes to dwell within our hearts. He who fills all things dwells within us. Remember what Jesus said to that disciple who asked him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will treasure my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus is not telling us to put out extra dinner plates at the table for him and the Father. And he's making it clear that this will not be the same type of local presence that he shared with his disciples. But it is no less real, and it is no less concrete. Not only is God's love poured into our hearts, but the Spirit is given into our hearts, and the Scriptures declare to us that Christ himself dwells in our heart through faith. This is why on the day of judgment, when Jesus returns visibly from the heavens, in the same way that the disciples saw him go, revealing the hearts of all mankind and taking to himself those who are his own, Jesus will say, Whatever you have done to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me, because Jesus dwells with us in the midst of this world and has united himself to us. So the image we have given to us in the Scriptures is that God the Father sent his only begotten Son to take on human flesh, uniting himself to our flesh. And he lived in this world as a man in order to win us rescue and redemption. And now, having completed that work through his death and resurrection, Jesus ascended, was hidden from our view, and now the might and rule, the power and dominion of God is exercised here on earth through a man who unites himself to us individually by faith and is also specially present among us as we gather in his name to receive his grace, which comes to us in the Word and the sacraments. See, then, what a great comfort Jesus' ascension provides for us. Now, having ascended high above the heavens, he is able to be with us in ways that are greater and more profound than we would otherwise be able to receive. This alone gives us sufficient reason to rejoice and celebrate at the ascension of Jesus. But this is only the beginning. In addition to the comfort of his presence, Jesus has ascended on high and gives further gifts to us. He has sent to us the Holy Spirit on earth and given us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers in order to fit us for life as Christians, so that we would be built up in our faith, so that we would become mature Christians. For it is mature Christians who live their lives recognizing that in Christ we are fully and completely delivered from all our enemies. Such deliverance was foretold even before the birth of Jesus, when the tongue of Zechariah was loosed at the birth of his son John. Zechariah prophetically declared that God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, so that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And this deliverance has been accomplished for us by Jesus. Through his death on the cross, he has defeated sin and bestowed upon us our release in holy baptism. There in the water, Jesus puts to death sin within us, so that no longer does it rule and reign over us. Death likewise has been defeated, proven by Jesus' resurrection on the third day. And on this account, we have certainty that at his return, Jesus will raise us also from the dead and gather us to himself. And as for the power of the devil, well, he has been cast out of heaven as a defeated foe who must merely skulk around and prowl, picking off the immature whose faith is weak, just as a lion preys upon the sickly and weak and immature prey animals. Now we were powerless to defeat these enemies on our own. We had become a prisoner of the devil, stripped of all of our abilities to do good and please God. But it was the good pleasure of God the Father to send his Son, who willingly, and for the joy set before him of rescuing us and defeating our enemies, entered into our flesh to free us from our prison. He submitted to the law and kept it perfectly. He burst forth from the grave, destroying the power of death, and now, because of his work of redemption, the sins of all men are erased from the ledger, and eternal righteousness has won the day. The power of death and hell has been destroyed and disarmed, and Jesus has brought life and immortality to light. Now all the enemies of mankind, the corruption of sin, the fear of death, the power of the devil, all have been defeated and are laid at Jesus' feet. And so, having defeated our enemies, only one thing remained in order for Jesus to be our perfect Savior, and that was to be exalted on high and given the scepter of omnipotence. As God took on flesh to become man, now in the flesh of man, Jesus ascends once again to the throne of divine majesty, and the prophetic words of the psalm are brought to pass. As for me, declares the Lord, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This seating on Zion occurred when Jesus ascended on high and was exalted to the throne of power and might as he took his place at the right hand of God the Father. And now he is the absolute Lord and Master over all, over sin, over death, over the power of the devil. In his hands are the keys to death and Hades, and no enemy remains that is not subject to his power and might. And as we have been baptized into him, we are united to him and justified by God in him. And so this also is our ascension day. For by grace you have been saved, says St. Paul, and God has made us alive together with Christ and has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As certainly as no enemy can harm Christ, no law can condemn him, no death can subdue him, no devil can defeat him, so also are we free. Free from their tyranny, we are also brought with him to a new heavenly life, free from all these enemies. Notice I'm not speaking of a future reality. This is our reality now as Christians, if we have faith to believe it with our heart, and if we have grown to the maturity of the fullness of the stature of Christ in our Christian faith. That's not to say that these enemies won't still try to exert influence to strip us away from Christ, but they're powerless to do so unless we give them the power by our unbelief and our despair. This is why Jesus so pointedly rebukes the disciples in the upper room for their unbelief. He had taught them on the night of his betrayal, "A little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." And now Christ is not only risen from the dead, but he has gone before us, ascended to the highest throne. We have already ascended with him by the hand of faith, and we who are baptized into him now also stand triumphant over sin, over death, and yes, even over the power of the devil. There is only the mercy and grace from God for us. How then can we not live lives of holiness and righteousness before God all our days? There's nothing to inhibit us, because all our enemies have become phantoms, a mere breath, and we can and should confidently mock them. For death has been swallowed up in victory. Sin has been atoned for. The devil has been cast down. And God has given to us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, clap your hands and shout to God with loud songs of joy. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. And he is King of all the earth. He reigns over the nations. Jesus, our God and Lord, our brother, according to the flesh which he received from his mother Mary, sits on his holy throne. And he has ascended on high, leading a host of captives in his train. Our God is a God of salvation. To the Lord belongs deliverance from death. So ascribe power to God. His majesty is over all. Awesome is God from his sanctuary. Our God is he who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be our God. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and keep our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.